White. Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, December 10th, 1905. My dear son, I have just written a short letter to brother and sister Burden and will send you a copy. I am much pleased that the money was raised to pay the $5,000 at once so that the $300 interest will be saved. They write me that just at the time they thought it impossible to raise the money, it was secured, and therefore the $300 interest is in their favor. Since I wrote you last, I have been favored with a loan of $850 from Sister Bartlett. She was much relieved to have the burden of it off her mind. With this money, we took up the note at the bank and are now paying 5% interest instead of 8%. We are usually well and are seeking to put our entire dependence in the Lord. I have been looking over a large amount of matter. My head was tired on Sabbath, and I had to keep quiet. We are having most beautiful weather. It is almost like summer. The light of the moon makes the nights almost as light as day. I have received a letter from Elder Haskell. They are on their way to Loma Linda, and they expect to meet me there. But I do not really see it to be my duty to leave my workers and break up just at this critical time. We need every jot of ability we have. I have to work carefully and not feel too deeply over the known position of our brethren who are not disentangling themselves from erroneous science and making sure that they are on the firm foundation. I carry a burden continually because of the souls who know the truth, but have not manifested its sanctifying power in their lives and characters. I should suffer much if I could not lay my burden upon the great burden-bearer. We must keep before the people a veracity, justice, love, goodness, and every virtue that comes to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. In all the lowliness, meekness, and gentleness of Christ, His love is expressed to us. His spiritual life energy we must have if we are daily overcomers. All our power is derived from Him. Of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. The prayer of Christ to His Father is a representation of what we must be if we are working to be overcomers. And if we meet this representation, we shall certainly bring forth good fruits. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. As Thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. And the glory which Thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and Thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as Thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me. For Thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known Thee, but I have known Thee, and these have known that Thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. John 17, verse 17 to 26. As Christ came to the world to seek and to save perishing souls, that they should have the light of truth, so also hath He committed the same work to all who receive Him as their Savior. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Verse 19. How important that we should be rooted and grounded in the truth. No falsehood is of the truth. The Lord Jesus has promised that if we receive Him by faith and believe in Him as our pattern, He will give us power to become the sons of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ contains the grand principles of all truth, expressed in a life of purity. In love and true righteousness, these principles are to be proclaimed to the world. In all our dealings with one another, we are to obey the precepts of the law of God. I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Verses 19-20. From these words we see how much is dependent on the character of all those who claim to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the lives of Christ's followers, the world will judge the Savior. If anyone, in word or deed, departs from the living principles of the truth, he dishonors his Savior and puts Christ to open shame. Let every soul believe in Christ and receive the power that Christ has promised, that he may be a child of God, holding the truth conscientiously, its principles interwoven with his words, his spirit, and all his works. Thus, Christians may become a refining, purifying influence, working against false religion and infidelity. Their presence brings with it the grand influence of heavenly principles, making them, through Christ, an honor to the gospel. They increase in power to communicate the sanctifying grace of heaven, gaining continually in influence through their increasing reverence for the truth. Their hearts are filled with the peace of Christ. A true Christian feels daily that his life work should be to represent the untiring earnestness that was shown in the life of Christ. Every soul should feel under sacred obligation to represent Christ to the world. All are to remember that they are in the presence of Christ, and in no case are they to utter a word that will grieve the Holy Spirit. They must show to the world that they are sons of God, that because they have chosen and believed on Christ, He has given them power to become the sons of God. In every business deal, in every act, they must honor Him who has given them this power. I am instructed to present these principles, the message to which I have listened in the night season. I am to present the underlying principles of the Christian warfare. All who truly love the Lord Jesus will accept His yoke and learn of Him. "Learn of me," said the holy, sanctified Teacher, "for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Matthew 11, verse 29. The Christian life is a warfare, not against believing brethren, but against the seducing spirit of the enemy, against the subtle, deceiving influence of the serpent, which creeps into our thoughts and minds. "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." James 4, verse 7. Make no provision for the flesh, to deceive, to falsify, to work just as Satan worked in Eden. He is watching his chance to develop, if he can only have an opportunity. Give him no foothold. There is something we are charged to do. Resist the devil, and the promise is, he will flee from you. Why? Because the angel of God lifts up for you a standard against the enemy, and he flees.